Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, Issue 71. My name is Mike, and to my left, right, would be Kane. Sorry, I'm looking at a camera, so it's backwards. How you doing, man?
Going on, brother. Nice intro, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, we're changing some things up here since we are on
YouTube.
Reminds
me of, what is that, Sammy Hagar, was it? Count 55. That's what I keep thinking of. That's kind of like the guitar riff for that. But I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Yeah. Like I said, we're on YouTube now, so I figured I'd freshen it up a little bit, make our intro a little less lengthy. But we are here enjoying. We're actually feeling the effects of crystal ball here in Florida. I have been inside so much with work and everything. I didn't even realize we were getting a tropical storm brewing out in the Gulf. That's how, like, when my head has been so buried with everything going on and the, you know, around the rest of the country and stuff. I just did not know we were getting it. Wasn't until we had a couple of tornado warnings and watches yesterday.
I had no idea until last night when I was taking my dog out for his usual nighttime business. And then all of a sudden I heard crackling and I had to hurry him up. I'm like, look, you got to hurry up, bro. You know, we got some stuff coming. And then literally does all his business. And a minute after I got in, the heavens opened up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's a good thing we got to go.
Well, we are here. We are staying dry. So, guys, welcome again to Heroes Asylum. Thank you for subscribing to us, watching us. We are on a podcast. We've been a podcast for well over a year now, but we decided to jump into the YouTube forum with everybody else. So that way you guys can see our pretty faces and watch me smack around my microphone as I'm doing this job. But we are going to jump in. We're going to talk about things we always do, about the comic book world, about the fantasy world, movies, TV, just all the news that's out there. And some new releases on comic books. I know Kane got some new ones today. I've read a few. It's been a busy week for me, but I was trying to catch up on some. But we're going to jump right into what we term and call our admissions ward. And the admissions ward is actually our new segment. And here we go.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, guys. So for the admissions ward, how many did you have today, Kane? I forgot, man.
I had four.
Four? Okay. Yeah. I think I've got...
Three of them are kind of interweaving, though.
I think you and I had one of the same that we're going to kind of tag team together. I actually had six. So let me go ahead and I'll kind of jump in and I'll start mine off. And what we'll do is we'll meet in the middle with that big story instead of like what you're talking about doing in the end. I figure we can maybe meet halfway and we'll hit it in the middle. My first one actually, it comes from our friendly neighborhood, Disney Plus. There is talks going on right now and casting actually going on for they're looking for a lead for a new Star Wars series that's going to be in Disney Plus. They haven't named it yet, but they are talking about having a Ezra Bridger, if anybody remembers, from Rebels, coming in. There's an ongoing casting process right now. They're searching for someone to fit the character and build, aged between 30 and 40. The maker's preference is Asian and wants the role to be of a particular color. And they are saying they're keeping open-minded for Indian, Middle Eastern, Latino actors. So, I mean, if anybody has seen Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels, definitely of the darker tone when it comes to that. And they're looking for an unknown actor. They aren't wanting to grab somebody that they do that's known for it. And if this ties into that Rosario Dawson talk we had a few months back about that rumor, still haven't gotten a solid mark on that one yet. We haven't gotten a Disney quote coming from that. That was just rumors, but this one is definitely coming from Disney. And, you know, according to Dave Filoni, Ezra Bridger is still out there. He's still running around the universe. And so they'd like to kind of like maybe brush up on it, because we're not going to get a Rebels sequel. Filoni's already said that, but he's definitely looking at doing something more. What do you think about that?
Smart move. I mean, I think one of the biggest things we've always talked about here is Star Wars making the universe smaller by bringing characters like to me, they didn't really need a solo film. I liked it. They didn't need it. You know, you want to make Star Wars is a huge universe. I mean, don't even think about the Legends stuff. It's a huge universe. A lot of characters out there, a lot of stuff you don't need to necessarily stay in a Skywalker vein. And this is a smart move. I mean, you're going to have like two Jedis. I mean, I guess Ahsoka technically isn't a Jedi, neither is Ezra, but Jedi-esque characters that you can follow who have the Force, who are not named Skywalker. And it's a good move. The way things ended for Ezra, if you haven't seen the ending of Rebels, check it out. He's out there. Ahsoka the White's out there. Why not? You have a fresh new story right in front of your face, too. It's literally right there. It's a new Jedi. I mean, you can introduce some new Sith, maybe the Inquisitors. I don't know. I don't know what kind of direction they go into, but I think out of all the ones, this excites me the most because Ahsoka was kind of hinted. You knew that was going to happen, but Ezra's a character.
Ahsoka has not been official. That was only back.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
your rumor mill is going on, or this one.
It's rumor mill.
This one is official. Ezra is official.
But I like this one more. I like this one more because there's a lot more you can do with him. I mean, yes, he has a backstory. You have to watch Rebels to check it out, but still, I mean, what is his age range right about this point?
Well, they were talking 30 to 40. You got to think 30 to 40.
Okay, so at this point, he's probably what? Probably Luke Skywalker level, maybe? Probably.
I'd say...
I'm just thinking power level-wise. Like, you know, because when we saw him last, he still had the... He was getting there. So you figure, like, maybe 10, 15 years later, he's there.
I think he's just hiding out. If you age him, I think he was maybe, like, 5 to 7 years younger than Luke. So, yeah, that would probably be about right.
So he has some kind of handle on the Force now.
Well, he did have his handle on the Force at, you know, by the end of
Rebels. Well, you know, I know, but I'm saying like now he's a little bit more aged, a little bit more of a seasoning, as they say, as I would say. So it's a good character. I've always liked Ezra Bridger. I liked his journey in Rebels because I felt that Rebels was the story of Ezra Bridger and his growth to being the Ezra Bridger that we got. And, you know, eventually what happened to him at the end of Rebels, but it's a solid move. As long as they keep the casting good, you know, let's get somebody out there that's solid. I want an unknown. I'm kind of at the point in my life where I don't want any big stars playing these characters now. I want somebody I don't know.
Right.
Because if I get somebody I know, then I'm like, I don't know. Like, does it really fit it? Just get somebody from, you know, who just recently graduated Juilliard or Broadway. You know, one of the best things the Justice League did, to go off on a little side note, was when they cast Ray Fisher as Cyborg. I didn't know who Ray Fisher was. Then I saw my Cyborg. I was like, okay, that's Cyborg. So if you're going to go to unknown on this one,
well, if they
go around there.
Yeah, if they continue with what they've always done in Star Wars, you know, they've always grabbed your unknowns. You really haven't had many actors unless they're the parental figure, the master. Those have always been known characters, you know, known actors, except for maybe Obi-Wan. You know, Ewan McGregor was a well-known actor at the time. But you look at the rest of the cast, you know, all of your masters, your teachers were known characters. So I definitely see going unknown with this. And again, if they are thinking of bringing in Ahsoka, great. I'm still on the fence with Rosario. Again, that's one of those ones I just have to believe when I see
it. It's one of those ones where Rosario is not a big known actress, but she's known enough. I think that's the best way to say it. That maybe I would have gone for an unknown, but
yeah, you know, if they we'll go that route. And then, of course, you know, there is talking with Mandalorian that they, not this season, obviously season 2's already been wrapped up well before COVID started. But, you know, there's a talk of bringing in back in the Boba Fett actor as well. So for maybe something to do in season 3. So maybe that's the tie in, or maybe the talk of the Boba Fett actor was actually for whatever Ezra Bridger show was going to be. Mm-hmm. So, well, time will tell, but that is definitely a casting. They're looking for that right now. So that is a definite for sure. And it's not saying if it's a full season, full series, or just a guest spot, but Disney Plus is looking for.
And just to piggyback on one more thing you said, as far as getting an unknown actress and surrounding them with these older type actors, you know, who've been in the game a while, that's been going on for a while. If you think about it, you just mentioned the original Star Wars did that, you know, they surrounded an unknown Mark Hamill with a guy like Alec Guinness and several of them. I mean, they had Christopher, is it Christopher Lee? Christopher Lee was in that movie, and he was a well-known actor at that point. And then, of course, the Donner Superman, you had an unknown Christopher Reeve, and who did you get? You got Gene Hackman, you got Ned Beatty, you got, who played Lois Lane? I forgot. You had Margot Kidder, so you had those well-known actresses and actors surrounding something with an unknown. So basically, not to cover him, but basically saying, hey, man, you know what? The weight of the world is not on your shoulders. We're here to help you out, too. Even Batman Begins did it, too.
Yeah. Christian Bale was a well-known.
But he wasn't like, you know, as he is now. He was known, but he wasn't like super known. That's what I'm trying to say. He did like what Empire of the Sun, American Psycho, Machinist before that.
You know, I was saying, he's pretty well known. If you're going to throw those names out there, those are, you're talking about.
But those aren't well-named movies. I mean, yeah, could you name him? I mean, you could. I mean, you're a buff. But I'm just saying, like a casual fan. Who's Christian Bale?
No, I think people would know, especially because a couple of those movies got Oscars, got Oscar nods. You know,
which
couple,
ones?
The Empire and the Sun.
What got Empire Sun was when he was like 14.
Yeah, still, again, just because you got it when you were a kid doesn't mean you forgot.
I don't think they really knew him.
I think he was a little bit more well-known than
I think he was known, but not super well-known as you think he is. I think he was more well-known after Batman Begins.
You're super and well-known are two different like levels. You can't...
I think people knew of him, but exactly. He wasn't
that's
like.
All you need to know. You need to, people need to know of him.
And well, what is the name we always give them? The sheep out there didn't know who they were until after Batman Begins.
I don't know.
Let's put it in that perspective.
I think a lot of people knew about him.
Well, I'm saying there's two different things. There's known and there's well known.
Okay, I don't know.
Either. I'm just saying.
Okay. What do you have for your next one? Because we're going to sit here and argue about this for 30 minutes. So, what do you have for your next?
My next one. Any sequel. So the Batman's Matt Reeves, and they're talking about a sequel. The movie hasn't even been finished production yet. But I guess we can sit here and pretty much guarantee they're going to make a sequel unless it absolutely bombs. Matt Reeves recently spoke about a sequel that he does not want to use any villains that have been used before in any other Batman film. And to Matt Reeves, I go like this. Thank you. I don't think I want to see the Joker for the 100th time. I don't want to see Catwoman for the 190th time. I mean, Two-Face we've seen here or there now. I mean, can we get a better? We're going to get the Riddler. I mean, my God. You have a toy chest full of these cool toys, and now he's going to use them? I say, hell yeah. Do it. I mean, bring out the Ventriloquist. Bring out Firefly. Bring out the Mad Hatter if you want. You can make a cool story with the Mad Hatter. I mean, hell, bring out one of your favorites. Bring out Hush. There's a tie-in right then to the Wayne family. You used Tommy Mielet in there.
To be honest, the one you and I always talk about that I wish they would do, and they can do it, Clayface.
Yes.
Clayface is perfect for you because you can make him anything. Yes, he is an actor, but it's you got to realize he can be anything, and you know and he can turn into anything. So, I mean, I think with Clayface, it's a perfect open-ended villain. And yeah, nobody has touched him yet.
Man, he hasn't been touched. I mean, he's been done great on Harley Quinn. That's a different story. But yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you can make an entire arc. I mean, actor basically who had great fame, lost the fame, wants to get it back, will do anything to get it back. You could use cosmetic and plastic surgery, screwed him up by his company, and then he becomes Clayface. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. I mean, I'm more for like the crime noir stuff. You know, I would like to do like Ventriloquist. I think that'd be kind of creepy, especially anything with creepy dolls. Hell, you haven't even used Deathstroke yet. I mean, there's a lot of characters you can use in there.
I always see Deathstroke more of as a Titan villain more than
you think so?
Batman. Yeah, I Batman.
I don't know. He's kind of been like both a hybrid now. He's mainly a Titan villain, but
it's more
kind of scrapped with Batman too, and the Justice League. So.
Batman's got way too many villains to really draw into from another, you know, stealing from another person. I think he's. You know, if there's a Robin involved in the storyline, then yeah, go ahead and bring Deathstroke in. But
there's just a lot of characters they haven't touched yet. I mean, you just said Clayface. I mean, come on, so many others they haven't even touched. And I'm just glad that's his mindset going forward.
Even if they do a better version, which I wasn't a big fan of, but do a better version of the Scarecrow. You know, I just didn't like that. I wanted the more creepy scientist trying to figure, you know, to me it was just,
I'll tell you what,
villain.
Here's the thing, I agree with you and I kind of disagree with you at the same time. I agree because he didn't have enough screen time to me for him to be the Scarecrow, but on the other hand, he was a Scarecrow because there were elements of Crane in there.
There were, but not
they didn't go deep.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What makes Scarecrow great is that psychological side of it. And that's what makes all of Batman villains great. It's the psychological side. If you don't venture into that and journey into their minds, they're just villains. They're just boring villains at that point. If you want to really get them, you know, the Joker is probably the one of the few that they've really delved into the psychology wise. Penguin a little bit with Danny DeVito. When you look at the origin of Penguin and how his parents didn't love him, you know, there's that psychology that he's doing this to be to be noticed and to be, and to get his name back. You know, it's an ego trip with him. Mm-hmm. There are certain villains they've delved into that. Bane was one, you know, they really kind of delved into that. Ra's and Talia, you know, they delved into that, but a few of the other ones, I just haven't, you got to get in, because if you know, anybody's a big Batman fan, they're all about the psychology of those villains. It's not just that they're a villain. It's why are they, what's driving that villain to do what he's doing?
I think there was a comic book out there that came out many, many moons ago, and I forgot the name of it. If you guys can remember it, it basically discussed that all the villains that Batman faces are basically opposite sides of his ego. Like the Penguin represents his, him coming from wealth. I forgot, Bane represented his strength. Scarecrow, his fears. I mean, it's a whole book out there basically saying that the villains that Batman has are basically opposite sides of the coin of him. Like same thing with Harvey Dent, you know, yep. It's the other side of justice. I mean, it's a whole book out there. I forgot who wrote it.
This is the really one, good breakdown. I think it was the one where he was actually trapped in Arkham.
Yeah, I think it was it. Yeah, Arkham Asylum. Yeah. That might have been it. I forgot who wrote that, but it's a really good book. But the bottom line with this whole thing is I'm glad that he's thinking this way. Because honestly, I think you and I can both agree 100%. I don't want to see the Joker no more.
No.
I'm all Jokered out. Put the Joker away in the toy chest for a little while. Even in the comics, I'm tired of the Joker. Like, I'm just sick of, like, this whole Joker war, but it just ended. Hopefully he retires for a while. I like the Batman Who Laughs. He's cool. But the Joker character, I'm just kind of done with. I don't think there's anything left for him to do.
Not yet. Yeah, again, it's just like the day they're doing with Wolverine, that you got to let him breathe. Let him
go away for a while.
Let people forget about him. Bring up a new villain, a new character. Play with that toy for a little bit. You know, let somebody go, okay, here's a character that might not have a great backstory. Let's create a great backstory. Joker has several backstories people can play with. Joker's an easy write. If for writers that are out there, Joker's an easy one to write because you have the three faces of Joker. You can pick one of those and write a story, and then somebody else 2 years later can pick the second Joker and write a different story. So it's not the same story, but it's the same character with the same damage and baggage to it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just pick a new one. Again, my pick, I always vote for Clayface. Pick that. Again, he doesn't have to be the actor. He could be something else that drives him to be that way. And again, like you said, I'd be up for Mad Hatter, or even, like you said, the ventriloquist.
I think both of them would be so cool.
I don't know if the ventriloquist could get away right now. That'd be kind of a silly.
He could be a side character. He doesn't have to be the main one. I mean, you can make the Mad Hatter the main one, or he could be a side one to the Bane or something like that. Just get him in there. I think they're really cool characters. They're kind of cryptic, especially a guy who talks through a dummy and killing people. I think that's freaky.
Well, I honestly, when I look at the ventriloquist, I always think of Two-Face. Just the you know, you have, he's basically Two-Face. Mm. And he just has a doll that he uses instead of, you know, a coin or.
But isn't that kind of creepy? You're seeing a guy who's basically scared to death, and you're scared to death of a doll, and there's two guys right there. That's freaky.
Yeah,
to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll see. Hopefully, they'll come up with something. I'll stick into the DC world. Something that's been drumming up, and we've been getting talks about. You know, we got the HBO Max is in the works of trying to do Green Lantern. And it looks like Michael J. White from, he's played Spawn. He was a Bronze Tiger in The Arrow. He has shown interest. Actually, he posted it on his social media that he would be interested in playing Green Lantern, if they go with the Jon Stewart route. What do you think about this? Do you have anybody else you would think that could go that route?
I want to show you something. Newsflash, actor wants job.
Yeah.
Shocking. I mean, he'd be good. I mean, the guy's only thing is, I think Michael J. White's in his 50s now. Not that matters. I mean, he could pull off a Jon Stewart. I would like somebody like a little bit younger. You know,
that's why I was asking. Who would you think would be good?
Honestly, I was watching Black Klansman about two nights ago, and John David Washington was in that movie. And, you know, if you guys don't know who John David Washington is, he's the son of Denzel Washington. He's going to be in the upcoming Tenet, which I think is one of the first movies coming out when the theaters open back up in July.
Yeah.
And for some reason, when I saw that movie, I kept thinking, like, man, he'd be a really good Green Lantern. He's about the right age. You can get him for trilogies right now. And he's a really good actor, too. he's done some other stuff too that I actually I went down a hole with John David Washington. I kept thinking, well, he just popped up recently. No, he's been doing some stuff for a while. Does he have his dad's mannerisms? Doesn't have that screen presence his father has yet. And I say yet.
Yeah. Well, Denzel, I think Denzel didn't at the beginning either. So
yeah, I'm just saying, like, his career, like, you know, if you saw Denzel in Glory, he didn't have that stage, that, you know, that presence yet neither. I think that came later on. And I think this kid, because, you know, he's younger than me, I think this kid can definitely pull it off. I saw him as John Stewart. I kept thinking, I'm like, that's John Stewart right there. Yeah, I could see that. I could see him and Hawkgirl, like, just battling it out and yeah, then, you know, falling in love. I just see it. That was the first name that popped in my head.
I actually was thinking John Boyega.
He's not bad. He's young enough.
He's young enough. He's got the look. You don't want him ultra beefy because Green Lantern's not about physical strength. It's internal strength. It's about your will. So you don't need a ripped, you know, Henry Cavill type person. So, you know, and I think he would pull it off pretty good. I think he's got the acting chops. We've seen he's got the acting chops. If you've seen anything else he's done, he's got the chops. All right. He obviously can do a good American accent. So
very underused in the new Skywalker trilogy now that I've rewatched it a couple times. I thought the first movie he was great. The guy had a great arc, and I just think very underused.
Yeah, he was.
And you're right. He is a good actor. Attack the Block, if you guys haven't seen it, it's like a British type of movie. One of his first films that he did. It's about aliens invading literally a block in the UK. He's really good in it. And you're right. I could see him pulling that off. And yeah, he can do the English accent just fine. So
yeah,
I think either one of those two is not a bad choice. Like you said, right age, been around for a little bit right now, and they can act. So
now what do you think? What direction should they go with John Stewart now, or should they go a different direction?
I would go with Hal.
You think
I really would? I know people are clamoring like John Stewart. The reason John Stewart has his popularity, and I don't mean to us geeks, you know, we're different. You know, we know, there's thousands of Green Lanterns.
We know all the Green Lanterns.
You know,
yeah.
Even one in particular that I won't even mention, but but I think at this point, go for the OG, go for Hal. Hal's been around the longest. He's got the name.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he was around that horrible Greenland.
I think John Stewart. Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you. I think John Stewart is so much in people's minds because the people that are in that age group right now that really want to see.
Yeah, because the Justice League Unlimited. Yeah. I get it, but I would still go with Hal. I still would go with Hal for right now because I think he's that name. He's got that story. I like John Stewart, and I wouldn't hate it either way. Yeah. But for me, I'm going with Hal. I'm going with the OG. I always start with the beginning.
Yeah, I think I would stick to the beginning and then bring in these guest stars to do
John. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it that way.
Yeah, bring everybody in. You know you're going to have Killawog. You're going to have Mogo. You're going to have the whole crew. You know?
I just hope they don't ruin Mogo, man. Please don't.
What can you do to Mogo? He's a planet.
I know. You know.
I know. Screwed up Ego. They screwed up Ego in MCU.
I don't think they screwed him up. I'm just saying, like, you know, don't.
A planet, not a.
Don't make him a robot or something stupid. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right? No. That's my fear, because I remember the longest time when they tried for a Transformers movie. This is many, many years ago. It was a huge rumor before they actually did Unicron. And he actually was the planet, but whatever. They actually were talking about Unicron being a, what was it? He was going to be like an oil rig, an oil derrick or something. I'm like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, you're talking about the Michael Bay?
The Michael Bay one, yeah. They were like, he's going to be an oil tanker, an oil rig. I'm like,
what? Well, they screwed up Jetfire. I mean, if I was more upset about anything in the Transformers, I was a Jetfire fan growing up. I think it was something that
just, I didn't hate Jetfire too much. I thought he was okay.
I think
I didn't like the fact that he was in a museum.
Well, no, I didn't like the fact of he was in a museum. He was old, and he was the old SR-71s. I wasn't happy.
Yeah, and he had like a beard, and he was British. Yeah. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. So that is what I have for John Stewart in Green Lantern. What do you got?
I got some news from HBO Max, man. HBO Max. This is completely rumor. I mean, I don't like putting too much rumors out there, but I think it's a healthy rumor and it's good for discussion. Recent rumors suggest that AT&T and Warner Made Media want Ben Affleck to return as a Caped Crusader in an HBO Max series. Now, the report also reveals that the company wants Jared Leto and Joe Manganiello to be part of the project as well. And the sources say the actors are set to reprise the roles. Could be a miniseries, could be just a one-off movie. Nobody knows. But it's basically because the storyline was teased at the post-credits scene of Justice League. So I guess HBO Max wants to follow through with that. Yes. But I don't think it's going to happen. No. That's the thing. No. I say yes. Yes, and yes, yes. Ben at the highest I can say it.
I don't think Ben will come
ben
back.
Ben won't come back.
And Jared won't come back after he was the way he was treated.
No, I don't think either one of those guys are going
to
come back.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, yes. At the highest form.
Yeah.
If you can find a way to do it, sure.
That was written by a geek fan. That just is like, that geek was us at 2 a.m.
That's why I said it was rumor. That's why I said it was rumor. That's why I said I don't like putting rumors out there, but I think for discussion wise, I think it's a cool one to talk about.
That's you and I at the Winchester at midnight going, hey, man, you know it would be awesome?
And that's usually me. That's usually my voice, by the way. That's usually, hey, Captain, you know what would be cool?
And I'm just nodding.
No, but, you know, who knows? I mean, I think Jared, I'm one of those people who didn't hate his version because I thought he didn't have enough screen time.
I agree with you too. Yeah.
Cause I couldn't really judge it. I mean, for the scenes I saw him in, like his version of the Joker was kind of cool. Like I was like, okay, he's very gangster, Al Pacino, Scarface type vibe, which I kind of dug.
It's what Joker was like, okay, now.
But. Yeah. And I was like, man, and they had that scene at the beginning of Suicide Squad where you saw Batman jump at the top of his Joker mobile, which I also thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know, I would just love to see them in a movie together because we never got it. I mean, I don't think we will get it. You know, it's going to be one of those what ifs to the end of time. Another one we talked about in this report is Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke. He's another one. Like, what did he have? Like 2 minutes of screen time at the end?
Not even.
Maybe a minute?
If that.
My God, I would have loved to see him in his Deathstroke. Yeah. We'll see what he could do. That would have been another awesome. But like I said, this is strictly rumor. I don't think it's going to happen as much as I wanted to.
No, we got a good live Deathstroke in Titans. I was happy there. And I think I don't know what people were expecting. We weren't supposed to get Joker in Suicide Squad because it wasn't a Joker movie. He was there for eye candy. He was there for the cherry on top. He wasn't the sundae. He was just there to go, hey, look, he is here. So was Batman, because Batman wasn't that involved either. So why would you have the two people known for fighting each other just be there for a few moments? And you're just setting, all they were doing was setting up the world for us viewers. That's all they were doing, because Suicide Squad is the B squad, you know, and I think that's what all they were there for. So I didn't expect much. What I got.
No, I agree. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, except for one thing. And I know I'm going to transition to the animated world. They made a movie. I think it was a year before Suicide Squad got released. It was called Attack on Arkham.
Yes.
It was basically the Suicide movie before the Suicide Squad movie before the Suicide Squad movie. And what they had in the movie was Batman and the Joker, but they were not integral parts of the movie. Like, you had Batman, like, in spots. I think he was at the beginning, a little bit in the middle. Then you find out at the end where he was all that time. Same thing with the Joker. The Joker, you didn't see until, like, midway through.
Yeah.
But then he became part of that movie. And then it just flowed. I mean, basically, that movie was about the Suicide Squad, Deadshot, and him getting, you know, his little girl back.
Yeah, nuts.
And the way he got to... back at the end, I think if you could do something like that, like going forward in DC movies, like, you don't need to use your main big boys in every movie. You don't need to do that. That's why I think when I heard about the Cavill deal last week, I thought, yay, okay, I know they're going to do a Man of Steel 2. Don't know when, but I know they are. But if you can just, like, put them in spots, letting, you know, the audience know, okay, hey, you know what? They're not part of this movie, but they are around.
Yeah, they're that's still
cool.
Here. Just, hey, you remember me, don't you? Hey,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Remember me? That's all you need to do. But as far as his Affleck thing, I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Anyway. No, what definitely you got next? Not. Oh, actually, I've got a rumor too. We'll go ahead, and what I think I'll do is we'll do the rumor here, and then next we're gonna do the big elephant in the room that that you and I talked about earlier. But so this one actually will involve the MCU. We've been talking about the DC rumors. This one falls into an MCU rumor, and this one actually came from a fairly reliable source. This guy is known for getting some scoops out of the Marvel MCU world. Marvel scooper Mike Sutton. We've talked about him before. He is talking about the X-Men that they're starting. There's no heavy plans yet, but they have laid out light blueprints to that, that, you know, we're not going to see anything in for the next 5 years, because obviously Feige has his plans out. Did I say Feige? I said,
yeah, Feige.
Sorry.
It's French?
Feige. Yeah, sorry. I got Favreau and Feige. I always get, because they're the masters of their universe. So, but they were here's talking about, you know, that they're going to start bringing in the X-Men in early stages, just like they did with the Avengers, slowly introduce these characters. Basically what he's saying is Marvel Studios plan for the X-Men indeed are in the earliest stages of development. Mutants are indeed coming to the MCU and will be introduced Avenger style in other characters' films. They are currently looking at the initial lineup of the X-Men group to include. Now, this is what they're talking about to bring in is first, they're looking, or not first, not in any order, but they're bringing in Cyclops, Marvel Girl, Thunderbird, Nightcrawler, Sunfire, Havoc, and Storm. And Storm will supposedly be linked with Black Panther through Wakanda, which that does fall in line with her origin story. So those are, again, this does come from a fairly reliable source, you know, that has dropped some news before on Marvel, but that's what they're looking at. Cyclops, Marvel Girl, Thunderbird, Nightcrawler, Sunfire, Havoc, which I can, you know, definitely say that with Cyclops, and then of course Storm. So what do you think about those options?
I love the fact that Feige is such a nerd that he throws in Sunfire and Thunderbolt, like two guys that we've barely seen on screen, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to pick these guys up again, see what I could do. That's what I love about Feige.
And he thinks, the fact he brought in Nightcrawler, because honestly, there are more Nightcrawler fans out there, and they're the quietest fans of X-Men.
But they got a huge following of Nightcrawler. But once you
bring
up
Nightcrawler, oh my God, they come out of the woodwork like
nuts. Yeah. Oh, believe me, I knew one. He lives in California right now.
I know a few of them, and it's just like, wow, I had no idea. I knew you were into comics, but I didn't know you were that freakish of a, you know, Nightcrawler fan.
He has a cool little backstory too. That's what I like about him. He's not just teleported. I mean, he was born that way, and he has like this religious faith thing going on. I mean, he's a very deep and complex character. But I just love the fact, like I just said, man, Feige's a sweaty. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to bring the X-Men you think I'm going to bring. I'm going to bring in Sunfire and Thunderbolt. I'm like, you know what, Feige? That's why you're so cool. Because you bring in X-Men that barely people know. I mean, we know, but others don't know. And I'm going to push them to the forefront. I'm going to show you these guys, and I'm going to show you how cool they can be. That's what I like about Feige. He always trumps expectations by just doing something you never thought about. And this is totally in line with what he does anyway. So kind of like when he did Ant-Man and the Wasp, when he picked the villain, he chose Ghost. Who knows Ghost except for a sweaty? Not too many of the other people. And he had Goliath in that movie too, the guy who would be Goliath or was Goliath at one point. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, I'm all for this. I mean, did the report say what kind of X-Men they're going to have? Is it going to be from Earth 616 or?
Well, no. I mean, if you're talking Storm being from Wakanda, so they're
is it really the Ultimates?
They have not said. Again, this is just
me. I'm just wondering.
This is just a little bit of the rumor mill kicking around. They're infancies, but they are choosing which ones they'd like to see come out.
I love it. I love the idea. I'm all about it. You don't give everybody what they want right away, but you get them a little bit of the breadcrumbs. You know, I'm going to give you these two, and I'm going to give you these two that you know.
Well, again, he's the way they described it is they're going to introduce them each like in different films. So you're not going to get them all. Hey, there's all the X-Men right there. It's not going to be an X-Men film. You're probably going to see in Black Panther 2, you're probably going to be introduced to Storm. Mm-hmm. And then, we're establishing she's there. And then you're probably, you know, down the road, you might get introduced to, you know, Nightcrawler, you know, or Sunfire. You never know the order that they're going to come in.
But they're coming.
Yeah, but they will be coming. So
it's a solid plan. I mean, you can't argue with his success. So whatever he's got in mind, he's got a plan for it. So he's going to go for it. And he's going to follow through with it. So like I said, Storm coming from Wakanda, brilliant. I mean, come
that one.
We love Wakanda. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Like, duh, yeah. Okay. The other two, I'm not sure where they could pop in yet. I mean, maybe a Guardians or a Thor.
It's just all based off of where do they show up.
Yeah.
You know, but, really, where do the next group of episodes take place at, you know, the next group of movies. I think that's where you're going to find the most, you know, the answers at. And then you might even get a hint, you know, okay, well, hey, you know, this one's taking place in you know, America, in the Western, you know, part of America. Well, probably Thunderbird, you know, might be somebody that comes in at that point. You know, it's you just got to look and see, kind of wait and see what happens.
Like I said, he's got it all. He's got it all planned out for the next 10 years. So, like I said, and Kevin Feige, we trust.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yes, we know. We know.
There's still issues there. He's still. He doesn't have a perfect record with me.
Yeah, we know.
So what do you have? Okay, we're gonna jump into the big one.
Are we gonna jump into this one now?
Yeah, why not? We're here.
Okay. I guess I'll read this one.
Kind of the halfway point for us.
Okay. Let me take a little deep breath. Give me a second here. All right. Last week we reported that Ruby Rose was leaving her role as Kate Kane, Batwoman, after one season, which then we brought up some examples of main characters leaving the show and that were replaced by, they were playing basically the same character. And if you know what that means, if you guys have watched any soap operas in your lifetime, basically what they do is, let's say, and a guy named Adam was in the soap opera. He's been there for the longest time. Well, 2 weeks later, you'll see a different guy, but he's still playing that same character. It's still him. He still has the same backstory and everything. However, in this case, it is being reported that the character of Kate Kane will be left out. And instead, and this is reposted on Reddit, we're going to have somebody else who's going to pick up the cowl and the wig of Batwoman. And apparently it's going to be like a little fangirl, like Ryan Wilder, I guess, is the name. I'll give you a little quick description on her. She's supposed to be a female in her mid-20s, complete opposite of Kate Kane, likable, messy, a little goofy, and untamed. With no one in her life to keep her on checks, Ryan spent most of her life as a drug runner, dodging GCPD, masking her pay with bad habits, and she's reformed and sober today, living in a van. Captain, I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I never got all of that information. Again, that came from Reddit, so Reddit's about as reliable as Wikipedia. What I have read, and this comes from one of the producers, and she actually had said, yes, there's very – your description of what they're looking for is spot on. They, you know, very – somebody that's not all put together. She's a little little messy, a little unkept. Definitely falls under that umbrella. But, yeah, I didn't see anything about any, like, name that came out. I just find
that's interesting. That was one from about a year ago that they were using for, like, as far as, like, the description goes. That was a name they threw out.
A year ago? So. They were
looking for
somebody a year ago?
Before yeah, well, they're looking for somebody. It's not even supposed to be the Batwoman character. It was a character that they were introducing a call sheet.
Okay.
That's what it was. So it's okay. Not supposed to be
Batwoman. This one news is coming from series runner Carolyn Dyers, just so you guys know where I'm getting my information from. Explain why they did not consider going forward with a recasting of Kane. Greg Berlanti helped her make the call for the new direction to go with a different character. So it says, to be honest with you, I did consider the soap opera version of the For a Hot Minute, kind of what you were talking about, selfishly, because we did a couple of episodes already. They already did have a couple of episodes written and where the transition was going to take place. And Greg said we had already started on the breaking season 2. But upon further reflection, she said that Greg, you know, helped, you know, decide that they're just going to basically kind of do a reboot to the Batwoman character. And it says their casting surfaced this week. Accurately to reboot would be a very different character. First discovered, they're calling out for, I think this is the one that you were reading about a Ryan Wilder, and described her as just, you know, just little goofy, untamed.
Just a character description. Yeah. That's all it really was. Yeah.
So I don't know why. That doesn't make any sense to me why you would just up and just abandon the character. They're saying that they're trying to find somebody that will still hold and keep together what Ruby did to the character. You know, they're trying to definitely not, you know, bypass the LGBT community in the statement that was being made in the show. But I'm not sure on why just completely scrap it, because we have seen so many shows where that actor's no longer there. That's no longer available. Let's bring in somebody else to play that character. So, I mean, obviously the look of Batwoman's not going to change. The girl can still throw on a red wig and, you know, nobody out in Gotham's going to know the difference. So we don't have to worry about, you know, that story being screwed up. But it's just, how are you going to replace that? There have been several different Batwomen out there. So if you look through the history of comic books, and it wasn't just Kate Kane, there were several different Batwomen. So, I mean, it just, it's weird that I didn't notice that the name that you gave, it didn't ring a bell as one that was in there before. So it's kind of strange why they wouldn't choose somebody that already had been there. You know, obviously they don't want to grab Barbara Gordon, because that's a whole nother animal. You don't.
It's other than a can of worms.
But I mean, there have been several other ones that have, you know, filled in for Batwoman. So I'm not sure why they didn't go that route and just go just completely brand new, unless they're trying to make their own Batwoman and not have to rely on the comic books. I mean, that could be the one thing that I could see them doing, to say, well, we're still going to use the character, but the character underneath the mask and the mantle is nobody you've ever seen before. So we don't have to look at source material. We can just write our stories, and it doesn't have to follow anything. So, I mean, that's the only reason I can see them making that decision.
I'm going to give you the positives on the first. Greg Berlanti has a good track record so far with CW shows. Pretty good, I would say. You know, he's been spot on with Arrow, Flash, Legend. Even Legends, which I thought never would work, was is pretty good.
You just said he was spot on with Arrow?
He was on it. Yeah, he got what I... Well, did I say spot on with
Arrow? You did say spot on. Okay. There's nothing spot on about Arrow. It was Arrow. Arrow was good. I'm not saying it wasn't. That was not Arrow. That was Batman. I
mean, that was... Yeah, sorry.
I think I saw two Arrow stories in there, and that was about it. The rest were...
I'm going to say he was spot on with Batman. Okay.
He did spot on with work on those shows. Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to take anything away.
Yes, he did. He was kind of spot on with Batman.
He'll fall under the Kevin Feige umbrella that, yes, and Berlanti in television, we do trust. He definitely has a good track record there.
So his track record is really, really good. That's what I'm saying. Even right now, I think he's an exec producer on Stargirl. I like Stargirl a lot, like I said. And I haven't seen the way they're going to write this character at all. I don't know who they chose as an actress yet. Don't know what they're going to do with it at all. Maybe it's going to be great. However, I think this is a stupid move. I think it's dumb. Why would you get rid of Kate Kane? Why? How are you going to explain, like, you know, the relationship between her and her father? You know, basically that he is the guy hunting her down. Explanation.
Is she a cousin now? This Ryan, will she be?
Yeah,
be
like
the cousin of the cousins. Or?
And what about the sister? The sister was the main villain of the first season. What, she just upped and disappeared? Like, hey, I didn't get her. Like, she's still out there.
That's why I'm hoping Ruby will hang on for a couple of episodes to do a swan song, and then walk away and do the transition to say, maybe this girl in the van is kind of helping her out, and she's not realizing it. She's trying to say, don't know, you can't do this. This is dangerous. I can only do this. And then she realizes this girl's got more to her than we know, you know, the typical nerdy, you know, take off the glasses. It's a hot girl in a superhero form, you know, oh, mm-hmm. she looks like she can't take care of herself. But in all honesty, she can kick some ass. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll go that route. I just hope she hangs on. That's the one thing I hope. If she hangs on enough to let this transition go, if it just starts fresh season two and she's gone, that's where I'm going to be like, oh, that's going to be rough.
And then you intro to Bruce Wayne. He has no relation. I mean, it's not Bruce Wayne, but it's, you know,
you just
taught me playing Bruce Wayne. It's Hush, but I'm just saying, like, you were going to, I know it's not Bruce Wayne. It's Tommy Elliot. I know. But anyway, you're going to introduce that guy with that face, who has Bruce Wayne's face. And you're going to have that scene where he's going to walk in away in Enterprise, like, oh, it's him. And Kate's going to be like, oh, it's him. And then now you're not going to have Kate.
Yeah.
Now you're not going to have that moment. I mean, it just seems a little bit goofy to me. It just seems like I don't even call it a cop out. It just seems odd.
Yeah.
Like, why get rid of the Kate Kane character altogether? It just seems like her arc wasn't done. She was barely out of diapers being Batwoman. She just got her grip on.
Yeah,
it's kind of baffling. I would just have gone with a recast. It's still Kate Kane, and now you're gonna bring in some character who's living in a van to be Batwoman.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, well, so you're basically saying, you know, it's gonna be a fangirl who's gonna be Batwoman now.
It's just gonna be Chris Farley living down by the river in her van.
In the van down by the river.
What the hell she is?
I don't know. We just gotta wait. We got to wait and see how it's going to work out. I'm very trepidatious about it. I just don't like it. I'm not sure if I don't like the movie. I think, to me, it's just like in a way, kind of condescending, saying, hey, I can do anything good. So you know what? I don't need Kate Kane. I'm going to make someone else. Like,
if they would have brought one of the other characters that had played her in the past, I could get that. I can get right behind.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're talking this, what we read on Reddit, if that's the case, I don't know. It just seems kind of odd.
It's baffling. It's like,
yeah,
why? I mean, it's been done before. Even the MCU has done it. They had two Hulks. They had two War Machines. I mean, what's the big deal? Yeah. Why all of a sudden this trepidation of like, oh no, we only had one Cade Kane. That's just very silly.
Yeah, that is very strange though. But we shall see. They're talking January, February 2021 will be the debut of this new Cade Kane.
Yeah, production. Yeah, production starts in October. Everything goes well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Everything I've been reading looks like July is the date for everything to start back. There's been a few productions starting back up. I did read, the Batman was starting back up in July. There's a lot going on. Even a lot of TV series, like we were talking about Mandalorian, that's even though with the COVID thing, it's still set for its October start date for season two, because they got a lot of the filming done. All they had was the post-production stuff, and they just had to wait on getting that stuff done. Luckily with them, what was nice with them is that technology we were talking about a couple episodes ago, that new technology that they're using on set is what really got them ahead of the curve. So easy, sir. Where's my music? Taking off your clothes music. Hold on. Well, sorry, I'm going to jump into something that we really very rarely try to talk about. We do try to keep everything light, fresh going on here at the Heroes Asylum because of everything going on out in the real world. But actually, part of the real world is kind of drifting into the comic book world. And what's happening is the Punisher's co-creator, Gary Conway, is hoping to reclaim Frank Castle's skull logo from, the police departments. A lot of the police departments have been using that logo as part of their task forces. If anybody has ever seen the, Blue Lives Matter shirts, it's you'll see ones with the skull of the Punisher on there. And the co-creator is trying to reclaim this logo because he wants to help out the Black Lives Matters group and try to reclaim that logo, give it to them. This is not just for Gary. He is also getting some major backup on this. He is also getting Marvel has his back on this as well. And they are asking to get this logo back. It's not really a copywritten logo. So it's kind of weird what they're trying to do, but it is symbolized to Punisher. In fact, if trying to remember the book, I had the number written down, but there was actually a book, a Marvel book about 5 years ago where Frank Castle went over to a few of the police officers' vehicles that had the skull on there, and he spray painted over it because he's like, no, my logo does not represent what you're doing. I'm
that's the funny thing. That's a weird thing about this story. Because I did happen to read that one.
Yeah.
Him trying, like, because isn't Castle's logo supposed to be anti-authority?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, like, wait a minute. Like, and now you're going to use it for this?
That's the one thing Gary's like.
A little baffling.
Yeah, okay. Gary's like, that this is about an anarchist, a vigilante. The authority shouldn't be
using. He kills policemen. I mean, there's issues in Warzone, Journal, which is a great run, where he literally, like, murdered all these crooked cops. I mean, I get it. Trust me, I do, especially with the times going on right now. But it's just like, you would really want that, especially now?
Yeah.
It would seem like an odd choice to do it now.
Well, it wasn't something now that they'd always done. This has been there for a while.
Ongoing?
I've seen those t-shirts for years. Matter t-shirts. It's always had the Punisher skull on it. And I guess it was one of those things I just never thought about it. I just always, I was like, oh, that's a cool Punisher skull. Never thought much about it. Then once he's bringing this up, and then, of course, like I said, Marvel is backing him up on this as well, that they're wanting to get that back. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens here. But like I said, we try not to venture too far out into the real world when it comes here. But that is something that kind of touches base with the comic book world, is that, they're trying to get the Punisher's anarchist logo back from the police department.
And here's the ironic thing about that, too, is there's actually a comic book run. I think it's a couple issues where Frank Castle gets into a he gets thrown into the prison and he gets in a fight with Jigsaw, and Jigsaw just severely disfigures him, basically, where he had to get plastic surgery. And when he gets plastic surgery, he becomes an African-American male. I don't know if you ever read that one. So it's just kind of ironic that this is going on right now with all this civil unrest. I'm like, okay. I mean, it's just kind of ironic, but it's just strange, just strange. Yep. But I guess we're going to see where that goes.
Now, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I got one more, man. I got one more. In the vein of the Joker movie that came out, which was, you know, if you watch me and Captain Mike's review about it, it's about 50-50. Some like it. We like it or don't like it. There has been another rumor, that success with that going on, the rumblings for a while about a potential sequel of that. But it's going to be a one-off film. And according to Humberto Gonzalez, he's pretty good. Yay, one of my countrymen. At Heroic Hollywood, there has been a rumblings about a Bane spinoff solo movie in the vein of the Joker. If you guys don't know who Bane is, look it up. He's a cool character, big, strolling guy, but he's got a tragic backstory too. I mean, when I first read this, I thought they could pull it off. They did Joker, so nobody else is off limits now. And Bane, I think, has an even cooler backstory than Joker, because his backstory is, like, it's been well told. Santa Prisca, basically, he was born in the prison, worked out, thing with a teddy bear, all that stuff. Went to Batman, beat the hell out of Batman several times. Very intelligent, by the way, too. I think that was one of the things they did in Dark Knight Rises very well. He's a strategic, militant guy as well.
I will break you.
Yeah. And he's great in the Harley Quinn series, by the way. Also,
awesome, man.
He's awesome in that series. And he actually had a comic book run, to just finish, was called City of Bane, where he was very influential in a lot of things, and a death of a certain character that you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's part of canon now. It depends who you get as director, and of course the writing, but I don't hate this idea. What do you think?
Honestly, something a conversation we just had. He's already been done.
Yeah, I know.
I think a great version was already done on Batman Begins. In the Nolan universe, I think that made up for the Joel Schumacher debacle, and we got a great story out of it. So I think if they're gonna play in another world or play with another villain, not him. He's already been done twice. One bad, one good. And then, of course, you know, he's all over any of the animated stuff you find. You know, you'll see him running around. So I think, there's a much better villain out there.
Yes,
if they want to stay in that city gritty, keep it in Gotham, you want to go with one of those five or six other ones that we talked about that are there in the underworld. Bane is more of an international villain, just like Ra's was and Talia was. And, you know, he's more international of a villain. I always loved Batman in the streets, the detective. That's something that you and I have always talked about, that gritty detective noir stories that were always there. And those stories always revolved around the Two-Face, the Ventriloquist, the Firefly, Clayface, all those that were just inside of the city. And I think that's what he needs to stick to.
I agree. I mean, but like, if they're going to do it, could they do better characters than other characters at this point? Obviously they can. But if they're going to do this one, I don't hate it. I mean, I guess I got to see it, but you're right. They could do some other characters, man. They could do tons. I mean, make a horror movie with Clayface. It's right there. Yep. And have Man-Bat in there. I don't know. You could do a lot of other things. I think this is the problem sometimes when you have a big studio that owns these comic book rights. They keep thinking, okay, what's going to sell? What do people know? They know Bane. Let's do Bane. Yeah. Oh, but what about these other guys we have? I mean, they have some. Oh, no. Don't worry about those guys. Nobody knows who they are. Well, guess what? Nobody knew who Bane was for a while.
No.
So come on. I mean, it all depends how you do it. That's the thing. They got to stop being afraid. Stop relying on old reliable. You know, you did Joker. It was good. Fine. Move on. Do somebody else.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I love the simple fact that even with Suicide Squad, they brought in Killer Croc.
Yeah. Wow.
I thought that was like when I heard that they were going to do Killer Croc, I was like, man, okay, you're going to attempt to make this creature. I can't wait to see that. And I thought they did a good job for what he is. he's not a crocodile. He's not a man, but he's like this mix. And I think they did a good job. And that's another character, you know, they could do it, that he's a muscle for somebody smarter out in there, you know, out in the world. But again, you have to realize they're not making a Batman movie. They're making a villain movie. And I just don't think Bane, again, I said this about Joker and I had to eat my words, but I just don't know if Bane would really work without a Batman, because his whole purpose was to take Batman down. I mean, that was his purpose from get one, you know, day one. I'm here to break you, break your body, break your soul, break your mind. That's all he's after. I think a more grounded character of the ones we just, you know, we just rambled off. I think those are characters that can exist without a Batman. A Penguin would exist without a Batman. Ventriloquist would exist without a Batman. A Man Bat would exist without a Batman, although that one wouldn't work so well. But I think,
well, you know, if you mix him with Clayface, I think it'd be pretty
cool. Yeah. But I think the other lower level villains would work without a Batman. But again, you have to, I don't think a Firefly would work so well because he doesn't have that mental, that mental issue that you really need. Again, Ventriloquist, I would definitely say the Clayface, and of course, you know, Two-Face, I think, would, and Penguin would be great just solo movies. Because again, it's their psychosis, their ego that's driving them to do this. And Batman's just there to stop them from doing this. You know, he's not like Joker. Batman created Joker. Joker created Batman. You know, there's always been that constant dichotomy with them, you know, the yin and the yang.
And it's cool. I like that. I do. But to me, that needs to rest. Like, that, like, those stories have been told to death. We're done with those. Yeah. And I think, I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
They got one, what they have next year with the Suicide Squad movie, which I love to death, is they're introing characters that have never been on screen. We're going to get the Vigilante and Polka Dot Man. Did you ever think you would see a live action movie with Polka Dot Man?
I didn't think
Polka Dot Man.
One with Polka Dot Man, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, that, like, Vigilante is going to be it, the King Shark. I mean, you have all these other characters you can do. Now, if it's going to come out, am I going to watch it? Yes, I'm going to watch the Bane movie because I'm fascinated to see they're going to do it. Yeah, that's one of the things. But I'm with you 100%. They could do other characters.
Yeah, and I want them to do other characters.
Yeah, I want them to go in that toy box and be like, hey, you know what? This toy, I'm like, when we were kids and we had toys, right? We would play them for like maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month, and we get bored of them. And that's on to the next one. I don't know why Warner Brothers keeps doing this. Like, I want to keep playing with the same toy over and over again.
And it's not the same people that are in charge, because
I agree, but I'm just saying it's like the same.
It's just weird that they have that same mentality that I'm like, really? Come on.
To me, it's like that fuddy-duddy mentality. It's like, you know, you don't want to branch out. You don't want to do different things.
Yeah, but it's not fuddy-duddy. That's why
I know,
always go back and forth about this, but I half agree with you because they have this mentality, but it's not the same people. It just, those people are dead and gone.
No, you're right.
But yeah,
they are gone, but they keep doing the same things.
It's a strange thing.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And they keep doing the same thing. It's just, to me, it's kind of mind boggling. I don't know why you would do it, but that's another subject. But yeah. If the Bane movie gets done, great. I'll watch it. But can they do something else? Please do something else. Do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just throw out this name real quick before we go. Next subject is I would do a Blumhouse version of Clayface. I'm just thinking about that right now.
If they just go into the horror genre, I mean, if you look, I mean, it hasn't come out yet. I mean, I don't think it will. I think my grandkids will watch it, but New Mutants. once that drops, you're going to see that's a horror movie in the comic book genre. And I think, you know, once that gets it, because we already saw Brightburn. That was awesome. I mean, that was an original character. Why? What could you see a character that's already got material for it to be done in a horror film? Again, that's why I say I think if we're going to see something, we need to see Scarecrow, because we didn't get the real Scarecrow. Scarecrow should be a horror movie. Oof. It should be straight up horror.
Can you imagine how that would be?
Just like Man Bat should be. You got three straight up horror movies out of the Batman universe.
Oh my god!
You don't need Batman on all three of those.
And you can base that movie in Arkham Asylum, where it's like a crazy, you know, demented crane, and he's releasing all these inmates out of Arkham little by little. And Batman's not even in the movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could have him. You could just have Crane doing his experiments on people, and, you know, just seeing his eventual decline. I think probably like the origin that you had in Gotham with him, about his dad driving him to do what he was doing, and then you just see him at the end of the movie finally being you know, being Scarecrow, just like you at the final end, you finally saw Leto become, or not Leto, sorry.
Leto became Scarecrow? Sorry, I didn't know that.
No, Joker. I was jumping into the Joker realm. Sorry.
I got to text Leto, let him know that.
You saw Joaquin becoming Joker by the end of the movie. You could see the same thing, that this rapid decline of this demented individual making people scared and pushing that limit further and further and further.
Or you can go like another route also. You can keep everything in Arkham Asylum, and you can keep them as he's a psychiatrist also, right? Yeah. And he's talking to these guys, like just basically have like, almost, I forgot the name of them, but like it's some kind of lawyer movie. Anyway, where you're just sitting there and he's basically breaking you down subliminally and you don't even know it. And basically he's turning you insane.
Yeah.
Where you leave that session.
You don't need it in Arkham. You keep wanting to go back to Arkham. He can be outside of Arkham.
No. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be in Arkham. It can be like any facility. It can be anywhere else.
Because I just think if he's is a doctor or in a university and he's got access to all these people, these teens, these younger. I mean, just imagine you're just straight up slasher flick, just put in more with a suspense thriller. That you could do that straight up with a Scarecrow.
There's a lot of things you could do.
So my last one actually kind of falls into the comic book realm. So I can we can actually jump into the Heroes Poll. Do you have some selections this week, or did you?
Yes, I do. Wait,
so let's go ahead and jump over to Heroes Poll for.
Actually, glad I got some polls. How long has it been for me? Is it like months?
What's that? Sorry, I had music playing. I didn't hear it.
No, it's okay. I mean, you never listen to me anyway. But
I'm actually gonna start with a Heroes news for comic books, because this week also news that direct comic book retailers were pulled because DC has officially left Diamond Distributors. Distributors, they have been the only distributor for DC and Marvel for the last 25 years. Big news, big break. But everybody's like, oh, well, that's kind of cool that they're doing this or going to different things. Yeah, but it's not helping our local comic book shops. This actually hinders our comic book shops, because what's happening is they are now having to order from a different distributor, which they have to now set up an account with these guys. They have to set up a ordering process with this new distributor. And what they're losing from Diamond is, beforehand, Diamond had a deal with them that if you ordered a certain amount of books, you got a discount and you were able to, you know, get certain like perks. Well, because they're not ordering as much, literally probably their ordering went to half what it used to be, because now they have to ship over to the other distributors to get DC. It's kind of hurting our comic book industry, our comic book stores, our brick and mortar stores, which right now they need the help, just like every small business does. And, you know, when we look at comic book shops, the brick and mortars are mom and pop shops. There is not a chain of comic book stores. I wish there was. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be
kind of cool. But there is not that, because these are all brick and mortar shops, mom and pops, like I was saying. And they're all now getting back to business. Some aren't still even open. We're here in Orlando. We're lucky. Our comic book shops have opened up about 2 weeks ago. But there are certain towns that still do not have comic books, you know, going to their stores. These guys are hurting. And then now they're going to have to pay more to get what they used to get. So it's not some, you know, there a lot of the comic book shops are not fans of DC right now. But keep in mind, Marvel did this back in 1990. So it's not a DC only thing. So don't everybody start, you know, rioting and wanting to burn DC down. It's Marvel's done this before. So it's just something that we're going to have to get over. It's just been being done at the worst possible time.
Especially now. Yeah. It's just,
I mean, right now, like DC could wait. I understand what DC was trying to do. Diamond stopped distributing. So they went to somebody else to get their product out there, which I thought at first I was like, thank you, DC. You're still trying to get a product to the people that can get your books, and to keep our minds off of being stuck in the house, you know, going through the whole, you know, COVID and quarantine shit. We can still get some comic books, but now that it's over, you still had this deal with the distributor, but they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go with the company that was there with us during the quarantine. So it's a hit for the local companies, and that's what we're more concerned about. You know, DC will still be here. They'll still distribute books out. And again, of course, it's just more work for the local guys, because now they have two orders coming in. They have the one coming in on, I think, Monday now for DC, and then Tuesday and Wednesday it comes out for Marvel. So I just think it's kind of wasn't a good timing for DC.
Yeah, it's just bad timing overall right now. And I, just something I wish they would have held off of. It's because it makes them kind of look bad.
Yeah, it does.
Especially now. And,
yeah.
And I get it. Like, business is business. But, you know, especially now, I mean, it's just not really a smart thing to do. Just, you know, you could have waited to the end of the year, to be honest. And then, you know, if you want to cut ties, it's fine. But, I mean, it helps those other distributors. I get it. But just, like, right now, just, I don't know, just kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Like, you know, these guys were with you when, you know, nobody was receiving anything. And now you're just going to say, you know, goodbye. I mean, I don't know. It's just very baffling.
Yeah, it definitely was. Definitely was. So what do you have for your, since I kind of burned up a little time there, what do you have
for your
first book?
I'm not going to talk about any writers or authors. You just got to check it out. I picked this one up. This is called, I don't know if you can see that. That's called Doom 2099. It's part of the 2099 series. I don't pick up a lot of Marvel comic books, as some people would know. But this one piqued my interest. It's another one-off. I think I did a one-off of Doctor Strange a couple months ago, which I thought was pretty good. And this one was pretty good, too. It talks about a Doctor Doom who basically wakes up in the desert. No memory of what happened. Slowly but surely, he finds these group of villagers. You find out he's on the outskirts of this world, slowly getting his memory back. And he basically has Reed Richards talking to him subconsciously about what happened. Apparently, there was a big fight between him and Reed. They always have these cool analytical discussions, is what I like. They're very similar to Professor X and Magneto, going back and forth. Like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be Doom. Why don't you just be Victor Von Doom? You know, but you'd be Victor. He's like, no, Doom is more powerful. And it's an interesting dichotomy when they keep talking to each other. I mean, obviously, he's talking to this hallucination, but it's an interesting, you know, almost profile on Victor. He kind of, not humanizes him a little bit, but it shows how brilliant the guy is. Because I think the movies have never really done that. And it shows the guy has an A-level genius intellect. You know, as he's being picked up by these villagers, he goes back and forth. He's trying to piece together how he got in the desert. And he actually finds out where he's at, and you actually find out why he was talking to Reed Richards so much. It's a cool one-off, and it's a cool ending. But to me, it shows the intelligence of Victor Von Doom. It shows that his ideals are not about world domination. He's all about Latveria. He goes, how's Latveria doing? Is Latveria thriving? That's his main area of focus. He's not about genocide in the world. This one is all about, hey, how's my country doing? Can I help them out? And that's basically why he wants to improve all this technology and get things up and running again, because he wants to make Latveria like at the forefront of all these things. And I thought it was really cool. I mean, it's a one-off. It is what it is. You guys can pick it up. It's part of the 2099 series. It's called Doom 2099. And it's cool. It's really cool. I think you guys should just check it out.
Very cool. Yeah, I've enjoyed Doom from last year, so I definitely would want to check this out. And if you guys remember, I did a little review on Doom from last year, and actually that book got nominated for a Will Eisner Award for this year. They put out their list for the Will Eisner Awards for NFN. Nobody's familiar with those awards. That is basically the comic book graphic novel awards. You'll find some of the, you know, the top artists out there, top writers, some of the best. And it's not straight up superheroes. So when people think about them, you're like, oh, it's all about the comic. No, this, you will find some of the really great books out there. I think one of the first ones that really like impacted, I think, was Mouse, that came out, you know, and that was a big one. A friend of mine who's in a book club actually handed me a graphic novel that was about it's a black and white comic book, but it was about the survivors from Katrina, and it's one of my favorite ones. I like to read it just every once in a while, because it's still in the art form of a comic book and comic strip, but done, you know, graphic novel wise. If you are listening to this, you obviously do know what a graphic novel is. But yeah, the Doom series, I thought they've always done him justice in the comic books. I haven't found a bad Doom version in comics. It's when they decide to put him live action at a.
Yeah, they really screw him up for some reason. They make him with electrical powers. I don't know why.
Yeah, he's magnetic and all sorts of things.
Yeah, just.
Well, dumb. My book this week, and actually it was from last week, but somebody was supposed to pick it up, but he could not.
It's not my fault. They don't sell it. They don't have it. I mean, you might as well just spill the beans on it. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, I am. But it was the finale to the He-Man series, Masters of the Universe, from DC Comics. It was a 6-series run. Kane and I have been keeping up with it, talking about it. So it's, if you guys check it out, it follows basically an anti-He-Man that is trying to capture all the swords of Eternia, or the swords of power, through all basically the multiverse of He-Man. And what we follow is all the different He-Mans. We ran into the Dolph Lundgren He-Man. We run into the 1980s He-Man. There's a mini version of He-Man. I'm trying to remember. I did find out what he was, and I can't.
What was he?
It came from another, I think, like a knockoff, like animated series that was just like a goofy one.
Okay, I was trying to find out who he was.
Then you run into all the different versions, even the different versions of toys that you had out there. They run into the ones, the battle chest ones, that, you know, if you hit the chest, it would flip over and be damaged. And it's just basically the story of them following this through. And what we come across is one character is as Skeletor, but as a human before he lost his skull. And we come to find out that he is the answer to defeating the anti-He-Man, because he is not a He-Man. He is not a Prince Adam. And so we go through the journey of jumping from multiverse to multiverse. If anybody's a fan of DC's multiverse, they handle this again with kit gloves and beautifully. But this just follows to the end of it. And where we've come to find that we've come to the final world, where it's the anti-world. It is where the anti-He-Man came from. And everybody's there that's backwards. And we've come to find out that one of the residents there is actually a relative or a interest of the hero Skeletor. So we see them reunite, and then the other He-Men somehow start popping up again. There's different multiverses of more He-Men coming in. And of course, you know, they went and saved the day, but I won't tell you how. But it is very, it was done very well. I thought it was a nice short, just like I said, six issue run, done very well.
Tied it up nicely with a bow.
Yeah, tied it up pretty good. Yeah, I mean, the best they could. I mean, it was starting to get a little tripping over themselves because of the multiple He-Man, but I think they were able to clean it up.
When you got six issues, you could just do that, and as long as they finish strongly, it's fine.
You know, there wasn't going to be a continuation because of this He-Man
Kandor? Kandor?
Yes, Prince Kandor, yeah. Because of him and his, you know, his face being half off and
Two-Face
gang. Basically, yeah, basically. And he remains that way. He doesn't get beautified. He still remains that way.
Oh, that sucks.
Him and Evil Lynn, you know, end up in a lovely embrace.
Aww, so sweet. We'll have to check it out eventually when my copy comes in.
Bastards. Digital.
No. Hard copy. Sorry, I had a cough.
Okay. I can read my books whenever I want, so you have to wait.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice. Rub it in there. Very nice. Very nice. All
so right. What do you got next?
I got Constantine issue 6 from the Black Label. The previous two issues had different artwork. I guess that's what they meant to do. This was back to the traditional artwork of issues 1 and 2. No through line in this. Basically, it's another one-off type of series with Constantine still being Constantine. He basically is involving himself in life with a would-be, I don't want to say would-be apprentice, but a would-be warlock. But apparently this guy is not belligerent. He's not an alcoholic. You know, this guy is basically all about yoga and free mind meditation and all that. It basically pisses Constantine off to
know
where
he's a granola warlock.
Yeah, he's a granola warlock. That's basically what he is. And he's like, he's doing yoga. He's doing all this stuff that pisses Constantine off. They're going on this hunt for this particular demon. And their hunting styles are very, very different. Let's just say that much. I thought it was cool. Kind of threw me a little bit how the artwork changed. I don't know why they did that. But
you
know.
Did the artist change by chance? Did you get
it? I don't know. It was art. I think it was just like the artwork for 2 issues changed, and then it reverted back to the first couple issues. Like, I think the last 2 issues were kind of like very stencily, very light, and this one went back to the darkness and all that stuff.
Maybe just an editorial
grip. Maybe. It could have been something like that. I don't know if it was on purpose or whatnot, but you know, it's Constantine. I don't know what the arc is now, because the arc has changed. I mean, now they're going off with these little one-off tangents. You know, the little thing that I had before with the first couple issues with the burning tree and the angels hasn't been really brought back yet. You have these other demons out there. You have this, you know, granola bar warlock now hanging out with Constantine. So I don't know what the hell is going on. It's kind of throwing me for a loop, but for a one-off, it's pretty good. It's solid. Hopefully they get back to that arc. If not, maybe make a better arc. It's getting into Lucifer territory right now, where Lucifer was kind of like, you know, threading in and out.
Well, it's just like, it's probably just like any television show. You have your little, you know, 3-4 story arc going on. And yeah, then like you're
it's going on Supernatural vein right now. So
yeah, you kind of got your in the middle one. So hopefully now, question for you. I haven't gotten a chance to like really delve into it. I want to, I've been caught up in other ones, but I've read the first two, but now that you're into 6, does it still, since this is a new Constantine and a new arc and everything, does it still feel Constantine?
Oh yeah, it's still Constantine.
Okay, I was concerned about
even the drawings, even like I was saying how the art would kind of change in a couple issues. It's still Constantine.
Does it? Okay,
it's still.
I mean, I felt it the first two issues, but then I was like, okay, well, is it going to continue? And like I said, I just haven't gotten a chance to read them. I've got them.
Like Constantine is not sober. I mean, he's not going to AA meetings to say, "Hey man."
Well, no, he can't. Yeah, that's just wrong.
You know, he's like, "Hey mate, you know, I'm gonna quit alcohol forever." Like, just you know, let's.
So he's on the alcohol. He's not on the heroin. He's like, he stopped doing the black tar, right?
No, yeah, he stopped doing the black tar. He's okay. All about drinking. Yeah, he's like, "Oh, we're looking for a favorite pub." You know, everything is like, you know, let's go hang out at a pub, mate. So
all right, I'm just curious because again, I've read the first two. I just haven't gotten able to catch up in the last four, and I was just wondering with the change, with it now being black label and kind of its own little world now. I was just curious how it was going.
It's still John. Yes, but just hope they get back to the story arc. So
perfect.
What you got next?
My next one is actually a Superman Action Comics number 1022. Bendis, Romita Jr., Mika, and Anderson are on the book, and this is actually the reason I wanted to pick this one up, because I've been trying to get my teeth back into Superman, and it's just kind of hard to pick up where to go. I've been wanting to start over on the Bendis series. I did find a good series of books, like they give you a suggested reading for how to get all of the Bendis ones in and find that world. But this one was, it's called The House of Kent, Chapter 1. So I was like, okay, this is a good place to jump in. It's picking up a little bit. Luckily, I was reading the Young Justice series where we had the return of Connor Kent from the 90s, leather jacket, flipped up, you know, quaff hair, you know, in the clone outfit. So he was there in Young Justice, and basically he's from a multiverse. So what this basically story is this follows him and Clark meeting. Clark brings him to the Fortress of Solitude, and basically it's, you know, Clark trying to talk to him and find out who is he, where's he from. You have the Kryptonian robots, you know, checking him out, make sure everything is right. And yes, everything's right. He is part Clark Kent. He is part Lex Luthor. He has the memories of the 90s. So he remembers those villains, what took place, but it's that Superman's gone now. Halfway through, we see that Jonathan, his son, Clark's son, and Brainiac 5, because Clark's now a little bit older. He's now in his teens. And he went off to the legions to be with the Legion in the future. And we see him come back. So now not only do we have Clark, Connor, John, and Brainiac 5. And I love the moment when Brainiac 5 jumps into the Fortress of Solitude, and the Kryptonian robots are all going, what is your origin? Who are you? Where are you from? Who are you? And they just keep bugging him. Finally, Clark's like, just go away. He's fine. Don't worry about him. Because it's trying to figure out, hey, well, he's a brainiac. We should be destroying him. So they keep trying to do it. Clark finally brings Connor, his son, Jonathan, and then Brainiac 5 to the Hall of Justice, where they meet up with Will Magnus, Mr. Terrific, Batman, Ray Palmer, wow, Adam.
Will Magnus? Damn.
Yeah. I thought that was weird.
That's a deep cut, man.
Yeah. So, and you've got, you know, the Adams, you've got, I mean, it's a who's who. And basically Superman saying, the reason I brought you guys here, you guys, you are all the brains, both, you know, the most brainiest people I know, basically is how he puts it. And we need an answer to, where did he come from? Where did this Connor come from? So they're still trying to figure it out, and eventually they all just decide to go see Ma and Pa Kent.
Aww.
Now, I'm reading an older Superboy series a few years back, and Pa Kent's dead, but in this one now he's alive. That's the only thing I'm wrapping my head around, the who's dead, who's alive. But you know, But it's very interesting is when Ma Kent sees Connor, she knows who he is. And that's basically where we ended. Like, how does she know who he is? That she knows that he's not from this earth. She knows who he is. Like, she says, "Hi, Connor." Nobody knows that. That's his name. And it's very interesting. And but because he remembers her when from the 90s that she helped raise him for a little bit to get his shit together when Superman did finally return. So it's kind of an interesting one. I'm curious to see who he really is. Like I said, you have to read the Young Justice series. I think that was about January, I think is when this one came out. January this year. And it's connected into it. So I'm just kind of curious to see which route this goes. But
yeah, that whole story sounds very
different. Yeah, when Maul saw him, I'm like, wait a second, that's what's going on here. I'm confused. I was confused jumping in where I was. And that usually is how it is. When you jump into the middle of a comic book, especially when they're at 1,222, you're going to be a little confused. I was like, okay, all right, well, I'll have to wait to the next one to maybe see where they start connecting them.
Well, hopefully Bendis will redeem himself in your eyes.
Let's hope. I'm giving him a shot, man.
You got to give the guy a shot. He's a good writer, man. He just, you know, he had a little faux pas with the last one, which is unforgivable.
We shall see. We're still in that world where he's still dealing with the fact that everybody knows who he is. You know, that's the one thing that they're talking to Connor. And, you know, Batman's like, well, you did tell everybody who the heck you were, so... How do we know this is who this guy is?
Yeah, it's just,
and that's when Ma Kent's like, Connor, she knows exactly who he is. So it's like, okay. And they I think Brainiac did a search for all the Connor Kents in the world. And
I wonder if this is going to prelude to Death Metal, because they're introducing all these multiverse stuff again.
Yes, because there is something about Connor's outfit that isn't exactly 90s. He's still in the leather jacket. His outfit's close to what it is, but the one thing that's different, he's got metal spikes on his shoulder.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Like, there's got to be something different about him.
So maybe he is connected with the Death Metal series that's coming up.
And coming out in August, I believe, if I'm correct. Is it August?
No. Well, we'll see, because it was supposed to come out in August.
That's right.
Because what they're having to do is they're probably having to build this story, these other stories up to introduce Death Metal.
Yeah.
So maybe we will see if that is connected. I didn't even put two and two together with that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, because once you mentioned that, you know, his outfit's a little tad bit differently.
Yeah.
Then, multiverse thing. And then we got Death Metal coming up. And then
his outfit almost reminded me a little bit of, do you remember when, it was a late 90s, or no, probably mid to late 90s, they had the Doomsday versus Superman comic book series. It was like three books. They weren't graphic novels, but they were thicker than normal, really high quality book pages. Mm-hmm. And it had Mother Box created a new outfit for Superman.
Superboy's
outfit underneath the leather jacket reminds me a little bit about it, like the belts and like there's like certain things. So who knows? But again, this did start back in Young Justice when they got separated. They discovered, that Superboy. He was like in the middle of space. Some asteroid. So,
got to see about that one.
Yep. So, do you have any others?
Got one last one. Right. This one is speaking of Superman, we got Batman and Superman issue 8. That's right. Part of the saga series has been going on for a while. It's kind of like a prelude, not a prelude, but it's kind of like a side story to the Year of the Infected, which haven't seen any release date on the Year of the Infected yet, or the whatever it's called. But anyway, it's supposed to be a side story between Batman and Superman.
That you're affected or deceased?
You're the villain.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking you're the villain. Yeah, because I haven't seen anything come out on that yet in a while. So it's supposed to be connected to that, because I haven't heard anything about the showdown between Luther and the Batman who laughs. But this is just a continuing saga of Batman and Superman. The last one you had was basically you had Ra's al Ghul versus General Zod. Zod left. And you find out there is a certain city that's bottled up again with all the Kryptonians. This one doesn't allude to any of that, but you find out at the beginning of this issue that there's a certain flaming skull in Gotham City, and he doesn't know why he's there. Is he being mind controlled? We don't know. Batman sort of subdues him, but basically this flaming skull guy, it's the Atomic Skull, if you guys didn't know who he is. He's a Superman villain. Why is he in Gotham? He doesn't even know how he got there. No clue, and Batman's trying to figure out who put behind him. Basically, towards the end of that, little arc where the Gotham Police Department comes and tries to apprehend him. You can't apprehend the Atomic Skull. You know what's going to happen. And eventually it does happen. Basically, Superman at this point is trying to go out on a date with Lois, but he's finding it a little bit difficult. Gee, I wonder why. Because there's always paparazzi around Lois Lane now that basically Superman has decided to reveal himself to the world. So privacy is this thing that's not going to happen for him again. Basically, you have a little moment to him and Lois. He flies off. He sees Batman basically buried underneath some rubble because the Atomic Skull blew up. Why? We don't know. So the mystery begins. So who sent the Atomic Skull out there? Because apparently in this universe, the Atomic Skull, he's been redeemed. He's kind of an anti-hero. He's working with the police department and all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. But you find out towards the end who was controlling the Atomic Skull. And it's for a specific reason. I won't say who it is, but when I saw who it was, I was like, oh, okay, I haven't seen this guy in a while. And it stops there, and we're going to find out and go from there from this arc. So you're kind of veering off the year of the villain stuff with the Batman Who Laughs. We're not going to find out who the Secret Six are yet. So I guess this is sort of like a one-off storyline, like a Supernatural. It's kind of like a one-off thing going in this miniseries. So pretty good. I didn't like the whole Superman thing, but hey, that's what happens when you reveal yourself to the world. So
yeah,
you're not going to get privacy.
Yeah, that's something that they're going to have to correct. And I mean, that's one reason why I was very upset about it. I was like, yeah, that shouldn't be that way. That should be, because that's going to be a hard fix. I mean, literally, they're going to have to do a redo, another crisis. You know,
I just don't like it. I just think it's stupid. Like, okay, hey guys, I'm Clark Kent, but I'm also Superman. Oh yeah. I mean, this, why? What was the point of it?
Yeah.
I get you want to change some stuff around, but there are just certain things
you don't want to change. Superhero's secret identity is extremely important.
Yeah.
It kind of kills it. You know, Peter Parker, you know, during Civil War when he, you know, took his mask off. Mm-hmm. You know, and the way they corrected that, it was some weird convoluted way of doing it. And that's what they're going to have to do here.
This is one of those things you need a multiverse or another, like Crisis 7. Like, how many crises have they done?
Well,
like,
DC has Crisis and Marvel has, you know, Infinity somethings. That's just literally the two worlds. When you look at it, you can find Infinity all over the place or Secret something.
Yeah,
in Marvel.
Yeah. When in doubt, you'll have the Secret Infinity War. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only time they didn't have a crisis in DC was Zero Hour, but it was a freaking crisis. They just didn't name it, which was smart of them. I thought that was probably the best one to do, was not name it another freaking crisis. Name it something different.
Please don't name it another crisis.
Yeah, I mean, right now you're doing. Well, right now they're doing Heroes in Crisis, and to me, I'm not a big fan of that one. That's basically a rundown of like the superheroes dealing with their PTSD, and I understand that's a very strong subject and something that should be addressed. I thought a different title was probably more.
Yeah, come on, like PTS crisis. Like,
yeah, but just, so, I mean, Heroes is something, but not Crisis, because Crisis to me is reserved for something more. That's why I
think Crisis played out. I'm like, okay, I'm done with the Crisis. Enough of the Crisis.
But again, like I said, you're going to get that just like you're going to get with Secret something or Infinity something from Marvel. They that's just their thing. Something we have to accept and just go with. You know, but maybe. When you look at other books, I can't think of any other world. Well, I guess Image isn't really a shared universe.
Not really.
So they've never had to have a reboot that I can think of.
Yeah, because they're smart.
Well, but again,
they don't have enough characters too. So,
but that's the thing. You know. They don't have enough characters, and they don't let those characters interact as much as the Marvel and DC. And I think it's one of those catch-22s. It's a great thing that you have all these characters be able to interact and share the same world. But when you get too many cooks in the kitchen playing around with the world, you have to reset every once in a while. And I don't know when was our last crisis.
Is that
early 2000s? Maybe it's
been it was probably about a decade. They usually do one every 10 years. Yeah, I was saying
maybe we are due for one. So maybe who knows? Maybe your death metal will be the, you know, the start.
I hope not. I hope not. Please don't. Let it be something wacky and weird. I don't want to hear
death metal. I think
death metal is really like an infinite death. Like, no, yeah. Infinite.
Well, then again, that's why they won't call it crisis. Maybe they won't call it that. They'll called it the death metal, and it'll be changed, and just like they did with Zero Hour. Like I said, Zero Hour was a refresh. but they never, you never knew it was a crisis until it was done.
I think death metal is going to have a lot to do with the Batman Who Laughs.
Well, it is, but I
and,
think,
and,
I think
and, a, and the three Jokers
overall,
I think,
but this is an overall arcing thing. I think it's going to be taking place over everything because they're getting ready to start the 5G. And I think the 5G is their sort of refresh, but 5G is actually five generations ahead. So we're not, you know, they need to clean up what's happening now. In a way, I think the kind of the five generation, the 5G thing is kind of cool because we can see what things are and there's a new world to play in. But we comic book readers are very staunch and very, very loyal to our stuff. And we want what we've always had, mm-hmm. you know, you can tweak certain things here and there, but we don't want to have to learn a whole new series of characters. That's why I think a lot of times like the Young Justice and hasn't taken off as big as a regular Wonder Woman or Superman or anything like that. It hasn't taken off as big because it's new characters. We're just not comfortable with them just yet.
Yep. I would agree.
I just don't think 5G is going to do that. Well, but
we shall see.
But I'm not the only one saying that. So
yeah, you're right. You're not the only one.
There was a big, large voice, Dan Didio. He definitely made the comment mm-hmm. on that. All right, guys. Well, that is the end of our show today. Thank you guys for tuning in, subscribing, checking us out. We appreciate it. We will be back next week, and I'm hoping this week I'm going to try to do a midweek little pop in again. I've been trying to do it, just life does things. So I haven't been able to really jump in and do it like I want to. So only this week I'm going to try to pop in and do like a midweek review. And then we do have a new episode of Midnight Movies that dropped. Constantine is out. A very interesting show done at 2:30 in the morning. I will tell you that one of us was inebriated. You figure it out. And one of us was having a hiccup fit through halfway through it, so you figure that one out as well. Mm-hmm. But it is a fun listen to. I re-listened to it, and
it was fun. It was a fun one to do.
So, and then we have a new one coming out. We're gonna drop Heavy Metal. I don't know if we're gonna drop it this week. I might wait for next week. We gotta sit down and figure our schedule out to see what we've got planned. But that is part of Kane's movie picks categories that we're trying different categories than normal. But we seem to not be doing that. We're doing movies in our genre that fall under those kind of genres. So
we're keeping it in the silent, like literally.
Yeah.
Keeping it in vain.
Yeah. It's not working the way it wasn't working the way I thought it was going to work. But we've done a few outside, but I think we keep sticking into our vein. But. Oh, well. And then, of course, hopefully we shall have Guardians of the Galaxy this month for our Avengers Initiative or Avengers Watch Along. So
the Infinity Saga or the Heroes of Silent Infinity Saga.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, I hope to see you guys next week. And don't forget to check us out at streamerlinks.com/heroes_silent. I'll get you a link to all of our pages, which Kane will talk about now.
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum Podcast. Check us out over there. And Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Good stuff being posted on there. Facebook page is the main area of contact. I think we're at close to 700.
We're at 724, 725.
Let's hit that 1,000. The goal is to get 1,000. And Captain Mike's going to buy free shots for everybody at the Winchester.
No, I am not.
Yes, he is. We'll be there. So make sure you hit us at that 1,000. And as always, guys, from the captain me to you, get to the asylum.
See you later.